Like many of you, I got the chance to spend Thanksgiving with many of my family members, dad and mom, brother and sister, and we had a fantastic time. I actually just got back a couple hours ago from the state of Michigan, and as I knew I was talking about friends this coming Sunday and was mulling over in my mind as preparing and things like that of talking about friends, and I couldn't get this phrase out of my mind from To Kill a Mockingbird that says, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And I was with my family, and I was thinking, well, that's definitely true, isn't it? Now, there's several things that I wouldn't change anything about my family. I love my family, love that I'm there, but I didn't choose them. And I wouldn't want it any other way, though. But perhaps some of you are sitting there thinking, man, there's some things about my family that I love them a lot, but if it was up to me, I might not have chose this certain family. But when it comes to friends, if you're unhappy with your friends, that's totally on you. That's your fault, okay? Because it's your choice, okay? So we're going to talk about friends. And I've had some great friends along the way. I'll show you a picture of one of them here. When I was in college, I worked at a camp. That's me in the straw hat and the giant arms. When I worked at a camp up in Michigan, and there was this giant festival in Traverse City called the Cherry Festival, and we thought it'd be fun to take this deer head down there and just see if we could get people to take random pictures with it. Well, it turned out that we ran into some guys from the Outdoor Channel, and they gave us some buttons and said, we give you permission to say you're interns from the Outdoor Channel, and just get as many crazy pictures as you can. So we got 100 people kissed this thing. We actually got on a yacht on Lake Michigan because of this deer head. We were eating shish kebabs and everything because of this dead animal. It was awesome. But many of us have all kinds of thoughts, great memories when it comes to friends. And as Pastor has talked about, relationships are so very important because all of us, at one level or another, interact with people. But there's not a ton of books or even messages or portions of scripture that talk about friends. If you go to the Christian bookstore or you go to Amazon, you can find a whole slew of marriage books, books on church, all kinds of other relationships, but there's not a ton on friendships. It's not that it's not in the Bible, but it's just kind of indirect, but there are a lot of things about relationships in general that apply to friends. It's kind of weird, once you get out of college, you stop going on retreats with friends and things like that, right? You go on a marriage retreat, it'd be kind of weird if you went on a friend's retreat. Like, what are you going to do on a friend's retreat? We're going to do the trust fall together and stuff like that and have a great time. You just don't do that. So it's not talked a lot about friends. So I'm grateful to be able to talk about relationships and especially along the lines of friends with you tonight. But to be truthful with you, I feel weird talking about friends because I don't really see myself as what someone would call a phenomenal friend. You know, when you hear of other people that talk, like, wow, he is a great friend. This friend of mine is just fantastic. I don't think that I am one of those kind of friends, but I want to be. And I want to grow in my relationships with my friends and be a better friend. And the Bible gives us some great ways to be able to do that. And I have to remind myself a lot that there's no such thing as this utopian friendship. And I think a lot of times we get in our minds that everyone else has perfect friendships except for you. Right? Have you ever thought that before? Well, that's a bad thought. That's not true because friendships take time. I'm busy. You're busy. If you have a family, friendships are secondary. But the Bible does have a lot to say about friends. So if you have a Bible, let's go to the book of Proverbs. We're going to go to chapter 13, kind of our key verse in there tonight. So Proverbs chapter 13. As you're turning there, I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we will jump into a couple of points here tonight about friendships. So let's pray together. Jesus, you tell us that greater love have no man than this than to lay his life down for his friends. Thanks that you have done that, that you are the greatest friend. God, it is our desire, especially as a church, to get along great in friendships, to honor you, to find unity in you, and to reflect you, reflect your image of being in relationships with each other. God, so thanks for this time now. I pray that you bless us. I pray your spirit be working in our hearts, that we would evaluate how we are doing as friends, evaluate our current friends, and how we can be more like you in the midst of all of it. All this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you, first of all, about the need for relationships. Okay, you and I are all made in the image of God. And God has a perfect relationship within the Trinity. He always has, for all of time, he's had this phenomenal relationship, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when he created the world, he actually said this in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." You notice how he says, "Let us create man in our own image." Okay, God did not create us because he was lonely all by himself. He created us to bring us into this Trinitarian relationship, to experience it, what he has with the Trinity, and to glorify him through it by bringing us into that relationship. Keller says this. He says, "The doctrine of the Trinity is that God is one being who exists eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." It just blows your mind to think about that, doesn't it? It's like, whoa, the Trinity, it's crazy. But the Trinity means that in his essence, God is relational. So if you think about creation, God makes all of creation. After each day, he says what? It is good, right? And at one point, he says, "This is very good." And then he gets to this point where he creates his masterpiece. You and I, the only thing that's created in his image, and he says, "This is really good." But then as things are going along, he looks at Adam and he comes to a point where he says, "This isn't good." In referring to Adam being alone. He says it's not good for man to be alone. He's speaking of Eve here, of course, but is this desire that everyone to be in a relationship with not just God, but with other people. Now think about this for just a second. Adam had a perfect relationship with God. He could have sat before God and sang praises to him all day long, and that would have been phenomenal, right? But then there's this point where God says, "You know what? It is not right for you to be alone." So he put within us a desire for a relationship with him and a relationship with other people. So your need to be in relationship is not a bad need. It is a God-given need. And in that way, we reflect his image if we look at it in the correct way. Okay, so let's define friends, okay? Friends is a loose term, right? I have 917 friends on Facebook. The other day, a couple weeks ago, it was my birthday, and someone wrote on my timeline, I was kind of scrolling through it, and they said, "Happy birthday, Brad." And I got to looking at the name, and I was like, "I don't think I know who that person is." Clicked on their profile, and I looked at it, and I was like, "I still don't know who this person is." So tonight we're going to be talking about close friends, okay? And this is how I have defined friends. Those who you let into the inner circle of your life. Friends are those who you let into the inner circle of your life. They're in the huddle with you. They know the ins and outs of what is going on with you personally. And I think Jesus would also define it this way as he looks at John 15, 15, where he says this, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus loves everybody, right? But he makes a clear distinction here between the disciples being his friends and the servants. He's saying, I love everyone and I serve everyone, but there is a distinction between you guys and those outside. You guys are in my huddle. You know what's going on. You are my friends. And we see this modeled in Jesus' life as well. He talks to all kinds of people, ministers to all kinds of people, but he's got his 12 guys that he really pours into, that he shares life with. And he even narrows that down even more to Peter, James, and John, his close-knit group that are with him in his most intimate moments. When I was in college, I made the mistake of thinking that I was going to be the guy that was going to be friends with everybody. Like, so that when they saw you walking on the sidewalk, hey, Brad, like, they knew your name. Like, I wanted to get to know everyone. Well, I soon found out that trying to be friends with everybody meant that I wasn't friends with anybody. And it wasn't until a couple years in where I really got an inner circle of friends that I could share, that I could be open, and that I could trust them with things that were going on in my life, and we could pray for each other and encourage each other to be more like Christ. I just want to say just one thing about social media. And I love social media. Okay, I'm a youth pastor. I love it. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I blog about once every 3 years. And I'm on there, okay? And I do update my status and things like that. It's a good tool. But here's something I think we need to be careful when it comes to social media. A lot of times we get on there and we just explode these personal things about ourselves that really should only be shared within our circle of friends. And it's like, I am feeling this way! And they're like, and everybody else is reading, it's not in your circle, like, whoa, that guy's got some issues. Because these are things that should be just shared within. Not everybody's in your circle. They don't know you. They don't know what's going on in your life. And that actually repels people away from you. And they think, that's weirding me out a little bit. And so we should be sharing within those inner circles rather than just unleashing on everyone that doesn't know the details about your life and are unable to know what you really need. So I want to talk to you just a little bit here about finding friends and evaluating your current friends. At every stage of life, you have to choose new friends. If you go to a new place, you go to a different spot, okay? When Mandy and I, my wife, we moved back here almost 4 years ago now, we started over again on finding friends. And that took time. Even being a pastor on staff, finding the right people that have the same niche as you, that are in the same circles, that are going to work well with you, that you're going to be open and real with, okay? So I want to talk to you about how you can find a good friend. So let's look at Proverbs there. Proverbs 13. Verse 20 is where we're going to go. And I love this verse when it comes to finding friends. And it says this: whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Let me read that one more time. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. It's pretty self-explanatory verse, right? Who you allow into your inner circle will determine what kind of person you are and what kind of person you will become. I had an opportunity to go with some of my youth leaders down to a hip-hop concert, Christian hip-hop concert in Kansas City. I was way out of my element, and we had a great time. But a lot of these guys had gone to college together, they knew each other really well, and as they're riding in the van and we're talking together, they're sharing inside jokes and saying these random sayings, and they're all just cracking up laughing. And I was on the outside, I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. But they became like each other because they spent all kinds of time together. And that's just a thing. You're going to end up looking and talking and acting like the people that you let around you. So if you hang around wise people, eventually you're going to become wiser. But you hang around with foolish people, and they'll make you foolish. Okay, let's look at some of the characteristics of the Bible tells us of a foolish person. And this is, you can evaluate your friends and think about who you're thinking about being friends with. Sin is a joke to them. Sin is a joke to fools. Proverbs 10:23 tells us this. It says, whoever doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. Second one, and there's several of these if you read the book of Proverbs. The second one is this, they hate being corrected. In 9:8 tells us that. I mean, you go to a friend you're hanging out with and they're like, dude, I've noticed these things in your life. But whatever, man. You know what you're talking about. Don't talk to me. Why don't you go do your thing and I'll do mine? Might be an indication that the friends you're hanging out with are foolish. Now, you should be friendly and loving and kind to everybody. But these foolish people should not be in the huddle having a voice in the plays of your life. And really, if you're on the brink of getting serious about God, if you're almost there, this will be one of the first signs is that you're willing to take some of those people that shouldn't be in your inner circle and to move them outside of it. You're like, man, I've been with these friends since I was in middle school. We've hung out together our whole lives. Well, have you grown a lot since middle school? Something to think about, current friends and friends that you're looking for, these character qualities. So wise friends are the opposite. They hate evil. Proverbs 8:13-14 tells us that. They learn from helpful correction. Now, nobody really likes to be corrected, right? It's not like they're sitting there going, hey, correct me, right? And I love that. But they learn from it. Even though right at the moment, they're like, okay, that was good advice, and I'm a wise friend, and I want to get better from your advice and correction that you're giving to me. And these type of people you should be surrounding yourself with. Because when you see other people being godly, you want to be godly, right? It's kind of like if I'm sitting in my house on a Saturday on the couch and I'm watching football, and I hear the neighbor outside start up his lawnmower, and I think to myself, oh yeah, I should probably mow my lawn. And because you see him mowing his lawn and hearing it and out there working where you're sitting on the couch, you're kind of like, you know what, I should probably get up and mow my lawn too. And then you notice if you look down the whole street, everybody one by one is coming up and starting their lawn mowers. And thinking, hey, okay, I don't want to be the only neighbor that's not mowing his lawn, right? I don't know if I'd ever mow my lawn if I didn't have neighbors. That's not true. Okay, that's not true. But there's something about when other people are around you, it motivates you to want to do good things. And so when you are with godly people and you are being a godly person and they are in your inner circle and you have godly friends, you desire to be more like Christ because people around you have that same desire. Now, you're all smart. I don't want to insult you by any means, but I want to just kind of talk to you about how to develop these kind of friendships, okay? The first way to develop these is that every relationship or friendship starts with a shared experience. Every friendship starts with a shared experience. When I first came on staff, I didn't know Kevin Thomas that well. And it came time for our very first, like, winter outing where we were traveling to Minnesota. I went out to get the vans out of the garage outside. Some water had come up underneath the garage and had frozen, and so I couldn't get the garage doors open. And I go inside, I'm like, Kevin, I don't know what to do. And he's like, I got this. Goes and gets an ice pick and goes outside, and he stands up, and he's just outside the door going, just like, and then like opens the door, and like, I go in and get the vans. That sounds weird, but that was a shared experience for us. Because ever since then, I've called Kevin the mountain man. And that was like a breakthrough for us. Now I'm like, well, Kevin's a mountain man. He chips ice and everything else. It was that breakthrough moment where we became friends. I'll give you another example. Dave Parrott's a friend of mine. He had my family and I over. He showed me his compost pile, and we played badminton. We did more than that, but that's what I remember. And that was a shared experience. It took that initial time of getting together to have a relationship in that way. But it's going to take more than just talking at Coffee Code to do that. You have to be the one to ask, to initiate, to invite people to come and share life with you. The second way is to minister together. Some of my greatest friends that I've ever had, we've worked in a church setting together. We served in nursery, served in children's church. One of my greatest friends, we served in youth ministry together. And some of the friends that I have right now are my youth leaders and those that I serve with in youth ministry here at Sailorville. So get involved. Work alongside with someone else. Wipe a snotty nose of a kid and have a shared experience with someone else that you are working with. You're like, hey, remember that kid's nose was awful. And you're talking about it. You're like, hey, let's get together sometime and all that good stuff, okay? All right. So I want to give you some just a little things about being a good friend. There's not a real formula here. I don't want you to think like, okay, if I do this or that. It looks different for everybody. But here's a couple of biblical things. First one is in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says this. There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. I know it's not talking about relationships necessarily here in this passage, but I think it's a good model for having an appropriate balance in a friendship. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Jesus wept over his friend that had died, correct? So we know that Jesus wept over his friends. And there is a time to weep and to be very serious in friendships. There's a time to go sit with your friend at the hospital. And when he says, dude, you don't have to be here. And you say, I know. Because a friend is there when he doesn't have to be, when there's no obligation. And there's a time that you just talk and you say, how is life? And you talk about, what are you doing? What can I pray for? How are you treating your wife? This and that. And there's a time to be very serious with each other. Romans 12:15 tells us to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And then it tells us in this passage to laugh. To laugh, to have a good time. Now, Jesus, there isn't a particular passage where it says, and then Jesus laughed, okay? But there also isn't a passage that said, and then Jesus blew his nose. But we don't question that it's not in there, right? I mean, Jesus at one point, he's a human being. He probably sneezed and blew his nose, okay? We don't wonder about that, but did Jesus laugh? Well, I would say so. You and I are made in his image, and so if we laugh, he laughs. I don't know, this is kind of where the word of God ends and my personal opinion begins, which is dangerous to do a lot of times. But I think maybe he played jokes on the disciples. I don't know, I just think that would be really cool. Like Jesus is hanging out with Thomas. He's like, Thomas, you think we can push Peter out of the boat when he reached over to get his nets? And Thomas is like, I doubt it, but we can try. And so maybe he pushed them over and they're clapping, having a good time. I think our Lord had a great time with his friends. And Proverbs 27:17 tells us that iron sharpens iron, the one man sharpens another. So it's getting together, having a great time, and encouraging one another to be more godly. And here's where it can get really dangerous, is that you come into a friendship with an open basket. And you think, here is my basket. I want you to fill it up in our relationship. I want you to take it and fill this whole thing up, and I'm going to suck the life out of you until you do. That's a bad way to start a friendship. Instead, you should go with a full basket because you have everything, if you know Christ, it's full with Christ. And you say, here, I want to share this with you. And mutually, we want to fill this thing up together. And I want to give, and I want you to give back, and we're going to work as friends, we're going to focus in, we're going to take time and make time to get together and to build each other up, for iron to sharpen iron. But there is a true friend that the Bible tells us about. Why don't you go to James? Go to James chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there with me. I think it might be up on the screen too, but it's good for you to look at this one. James chapter 2. Verse 23. It says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Okay, we know that that's from Genesis 15:6, story of Abraham being made right with God. And then it says, there's a dash, and he was called a friend of God. Like Abraham, we can be made right with God. We can be given the righteousness of Christ. And we can also become his friend simply by placing our faith in him. And God's not like us. He can handle friendship upon friendship upon friendship, and he can take us deeper than anyone else can through his word. I think it's great, and I'm all for getting together in accountability groups and talking about life and how you're doing in your walk with Christ. But I think we can get dangerous is if we are more open and honest with our accountability partner than we are with our truest friend, Jesus. Have you ever read the Psalms? Those writers, they are open and honest about how they feel, what they are going through. And I know Jesus doesn't sit there and put his arm around you, but he is your friend that wants to hear. He wants you to open up and be honest and let him in on the things that are going on in your life. And really, the Bible gives us two options as to who we are going to be friends with. James 4:4 tells us, he says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So James tells us you can be a friend of the world, which makes you an enemy of God, or you can be God's friend. Now catch this, okay? None of these things that I've mentioned about friendship, none of it matters at all unless you know the true friend, Jesus. Because you can have the greatest friends and you can be the greatest friend and still have a joyless life. You might have spots of joy here and there, but you'll never have joy completely. You can be the greatest friend and have the greatest friends and still feel empty. You can have great friends and fill a need in your life and still not have your greatest need met. You can have great friends but not know the saving friend and still be on your way to hell. So the question is proposed, what kind of friend will you be? Are you going to be a friend of the world or are you going to be a friend of God? Are you going to be his friend? You also see him as Lord. You submit to his lordship and that you realize that he has done everything. It's not dependent on you at all to make it possible for you to be his friend. It's Advent season, we talked about it. And this is the story of Jesus coming down on his rescue mission to live. He lived the life that we could not live. He died the death that we deserved. And then he rose again. And he says, I've made it the opportunity to have you be made right with me and to be called my friend, for me to know you and for you to know me. So in conclusion, let me just challenge you. Do you know the greatest friend? Do you have this relationship? Because yeah, you're made in the image of God to have these relationships, but this is the one that matters first. Have you chosen wise friends? The people that you interact with that are in your circles, yeah, you're friendly to everybody, but are those that are having a say in your life and shaping who you are going to become, are they wise friends? Are you a wise friend? Do you handle correction well? Do you hate sin? Do you love Jesus and treasure him as your greatest treasure? Do you push others to be like Christ in your friendships? Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to move on from joking around to get into deeper things. Are you willing to go there? So know the greatest friend. Choose wise friends, be a wise friend, and push others to know Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the greatest friend. Thank you by faith alone that we can be your friend, to know you, to have our sins forgiven, to have life abundantly that you offer to us, God. God, I pray for those in this room that are struggling to make friends. It's not an easy thing. God, would you bring some solid, good friends into their lives? Would you help them to be a good friend? Help them not to make a list of what they're looking for in a friend, but what they can be in a friend. And God, would you help those that are, as was mentioned, are awkward in friendships? Would you help them to be real, to laugh, to have fun, to cry, and to be open with their lives to make new friends, God? You got to pray for those that are in this room that have a great circle of friends. Would we continue to be more like you and in that way become better friends, God? Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thanks for the resurrection. And thank you for the church. In your name we pray. Amen.